Jim Fried and Wanda Miles on 880 The Biz.
Whoa, if I could talk to the animals, just imagine it, chatting with a chimpanzee.
Wanda, you've been planning this one. We're now on with my friend Ron McGill. He's just as old as I am. Graduated from UF when I was there. So Ron and I are UF buddies. And we
go Gators, baby.
Oh, dude, it's our time. It's our time. So listen, Ron, welcome to Fried on Business. We're so thrilled to have you. So tell us a little bit about what's the sip and stroll at the zoo.
Oh, man, this is a fun event. It's on March 2nd, and it's an adults only, 21 and over. But basically, it kind of replicates a Mardi Gras event, okay, where you're going to go to the zoo. They open the zoo at night. They set it up. They got a DJ. They got a Junkadoo band. They got Mardi Gras-themed face painters, stilt walkers. You know, they have a photo booth, all kinds of beverages and bites. So you go in. It's $20. You get in, and, you know, the food and the drinks is extra, but they got a bunch of little food and drinks set up. But it's not more than $4 to $6 a drink or a plate of food or whatever. So it's not terribly expensive, but you got this great ambiance, this party animal thing going on throughout the zoo, and it's adults only. It really is a whole different perspective of the zoo in this Mardi Gras type of event.
It sounds awesome. I have my mask in my car already, and I got to believe that this is full of Instagram moments for everybody.
Absolutely, and it's good food. You know, they're going to have Cajun shrimp pizza. They're going to have muffuletta salad, golden snack mix, sausage and chicken jambalaya, and, you know, hush puppies and Creole mustard, chudo donuts, Cajun spinach dip and chips, cocktails, sangria, hurricanes, beer, wine. They'll have all kinds of stuff. So it's a big party. And listen, if you don't have a place to put your kids, they've actually set up where they got childcare for $20. They'll take care of your kids the whole evening there, or they have like a little kid camp for the kids where they have, you know, qualified professionals taking care of your kids while you go out and party.
Oh my God, this is unreal. This is how do people get more information, Ron?
Just call the Zoo Society. It's an easy number to remember. You ready? It's 305-255-5551. 255-5551. Now, so that's easy to remember.
Yeah, go a little slower because we got some Jets fans that listen to the show.
Oh, listen, I'm from New York. I was originally a Jets fan.
Yeah, I know. I was too, but I'm a Dolphins fan now. Come on.
Yeah, me too. Okay. Anyways, 305-255-5551. Just ask for the Sip and Stroll. You can also go online at zoomiami.org and just click on Sip and Stroll, and you get all the information there. It's a fun event. It's adults only, and it's something that I think gives you a whole different perspective of the zoo.
Yeah. You see, you were a little older. I moved here when I was 9. You came here when you were 12, so you had a little more time to it. So you were there with the Joe Namath. You loved that Joe Namath thing, didn't you?
I was there in 69, brother. In my study here in the house, I had the photograph with Joe Namath signed, Walt Frazier from the Knicks, and Tom Seaver from the Mets.
I was going to say, Tom Seaver.
1969, brother.
That's
that
right.
Year to live in New York.
Yes, it was. Tom Seaver, my dad, we caught a foul ball off of, I don't remember, but it was pitched by Tug McGraw. Tug McGraw is the guy that I met. Oh, he was so great.
Yeah, Tug was a great guy. But now a lot of people don't know that he's Tim McGraw's dad.
Yeah, I know. That's pretty cool. Now, let me ask you this. How did you get set up to work at the zoo? Because that's really just, that's got to be the best job in Miami.
And for me, it is the best job, Jim. You know, I just got back a week ago today. I was standing in the middle of Antarctica, surrounded by penguins and whales and seals, doing a documentary with Channel 10. A month before that, I was in Mexico documenting the migration of the monarchs. You know, I've been to Africa over 50 times. Uh-huh. I've been living this dream that I had as a little kid growing up in New York City in a small apartment, the son of Cuban immigrants, and here I am living this dream. I always wanted to work with animals. So when I was up in Florida, they were starting to build a new zoo down here. It was a sign that was erected on 152nd Street down from where I grew up, and I said, that's where I want to work. I applied, and I got in as a zookeeper, and I started there as a zookeeper, and now this year is my 40th year at the zoo.
Yeah, I saw you worked your way up from like a cage cleaner or something.
Yeah, well, you know what? A zookeeper is an honorable position. It's something where it's funny that you say that, Jim, because when I first started, I remember I got out of the university and I told my dad, a Cuban immigrant who never got to college, and his dream was for me, you know, his firstborn, to be the first kid in the family to go to college. And I get out of college and I say, I'm going to become a zookeeper. And he looked at me and goes, you're going to shovel manure out of a college education? And I said, Pop, it's a lot more than that. You know, people had this preconceived notion that it was just this custodial care, keys, a wheelbarrow, a rake, and a shovel. And being a zookeeper is so much more than that today. It's all about conservation. It's understanding behaviors. It's writing, you know, papers about animals that we can learn their behaviors so we can apply those behaviors to taking care of them in the wild, doing a lot of conservation work. I have started all kinds of conservation programs around the world, for that matter. I personally raised millions of dollars for conservation. Foundation. It's what I'm most proud of. The largest conservation endowment at the zoo is the Ron McGill Conservation Endowment. We provide tens of thousands of dollars every year, and that'll be in perpetuity. That's for the rest of time through that endowment. And that's what we got to do, Jim. Zoos cannot just be attractions. You cannot just put animals on exhibit and think you're doing something for conservation. We as zoos and institutions, we have to prove that we're doing something for those animals in the wild, or there really is no justification to have a zoo.
No, you know, it really is. And the most important thing about living down here is interfacing with our environment. I remember when I was a kid in public school, they took us out to Key Biscayne, and we would go out there to the park, and we went out to the beach, and we would interface, and they would show us all the birds and everything else. Then they would take us out to the Everglades, and still to this day,
they still do that. And the Miami-Dade Park System is celebrating its 90-year anniversary this year. Miami-Dade Parks has some wonderful programs, going out in kayaks, going out in the ocean, looking at the reefs and things like that. They really do some wonderful programs. So the school kids have wonderful opportunities to learn about their environment. I wish they would do more of that, because I think there's just too many kids that are just glued behind a computer screen or some smartphone, and they're not getting out to really look at nature and enjoying it as we did as kids.
I think that they also need to do that for people that have moved here that are maybe in their 20s and 30s and come up
Absolutely.
With some kind of club or something. I mean, you know, you've got this thing where you're the wildlife ambassador, you're the cheetah ambassador program, you got this Nikon ambassador, you're like all these great awards. We need to get an award going for people that are getting involved in our community. And I don't mean that you got to be the one that swims with the manatees or saves the coral reefs, but maybe we can create a program where people can become ambassadors for the zoo and bring people in. Or maybe that already exists.
Well, it does. You know, we have a lot of great ambassador programs at the zoo, especially for our youth. For our teenagers, there's a program called the Conservation Teen Scientist, where these kids learn to be basically, civilian scientists, where they learn how to contribute to do things like surveys of bird counts and butterfly counts and things like that. And they can help out the professionals in these studies that help establish, you know, populations of animals, what things are threatened, what's threatening them. I think the kids today, I got to be honest with you, I don't think we hear enough about the good things that these kids are doing, because a lot of these kids now, quite frankly, are better than they were in my generation. You know, when I was a young kid, I never heard of recycling. I drove the biggest, baddest car in the neighborhood. It got -7 miles to the gallon.
What kind of car did you drive? What'd you drive?
A GTO.
Oh, God. Goat. Oh, my God. What color?
Yeah. It was black.
Oh, my. Do you still have it? That's my dream car.
I wish I had it, man.
It's
I
my
would
dream car.
Again.
It's but my it dream was, car.
You know, 8-cylinder. The thing got -8 miles to the gallon, but it went 0 to 60 in two seconds.
It sounded pretty good, too, right?
Oh, it did.
Did you have a bench seat in the back? Well, we'll talk about that off the air.
But, you know, the thing about it now is you drive a car like that now, you'll get dirty looks. Now you drive a Prius and you're cool. And I think that's a change in the mentality. People understanding, listen, you know, what is this carbon footprint that you're leaving behind? Are you really trying to pay attention to help the environment? And I see a lot of our kids are doing that, more so than the adults. So I have faith that the next generation is going to be a good one for the environment.
I think so, too. I'm seeing a change in the tenor, and even in Tallahassee, where we're seeing people that are more interested in replumbing the Everglades.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I think it's very important, you know, with climate change, which I'm not getting into a big climate change thing, but you read about that there's been 6 inches climate rise in the Everglades, and that the wading birds are moving north because they can't. I mean, it's
absolutely. There are definitely changes happening. You cannot question the changes. So, you know, the question is, are they bad changes? Are they good changes? There's a lot of debate on that, and I'm not going to get into that either. But the bottom line is we have to prepare ourselves for some serious changes.
Well, there you go. You know, the Keys are doing this thing where they're banning the suntan lotion that creates the, I guess, I'm not a pro,
absolutely.
But coral bleaching or something going on. And so we have to protect our environment. Only a few years ago, you would go out there, you could go scuba diving and see the most beautiful things. Now there's fewer fish. There's this lionfish. I mean, there's all kinds of invasive species going on. Ron, can we still protect our environment and keep Miami the beautiful place that you and I grew up?
Absolutely. I think we're definitely not, beyond the point of no return. There's certainly some damage being done, but there's a lot of working towards protecting that damage. You know, the Rosenstiel School, the University of Miami, they're doing incredible work in helping protecting our reefs. I was just out there the other day. What these scientists are doing to develop corals, to get these things to propagate are amazing. You know, we are facing some challenges. There's no question about it, but I don't want anybody to give up. You got to have hope and understand that there is hope for the future. I think we can save a lot of these things, and we're on the right track to do it if we can stay focused.
Well, I'm on your team. I'm going to go out to this thing. I'm going to bring my wife. We're going to do this. We're going to get your energy back on the show because Wanda will not allow me to have you not. I mean, since you got all lined up with her. Now, again, everybody that wants to go, the number to call is 305-255-5551 for the... Yeah, right? Okay, I'm going to read again. 305-255-5551. You call that number. Pre-sales, $20. $25 at the door. Free parking. Now, Ron, one last question. What's coming up at the zoo that's making the zoo better?
Oh, geez. You know, we just had two baby giraffes that went out on the exhibit, on the African Plains exhibit yesterday. It was their first debut out of the zoo. We've got all kinds of, you know, our water stations now. As the summer comes in, we've got these misting stations all over
cool.
the zoo. We've got all kinds of new shade structures put up.
Awesome.
We're having our,
fantastic.
You know, new presentations, but the new wildlife show presentations are going to be coming online soon. So there's constant changing going on. There's a bunch of animals that are pregnant. We're expecting a rhino in April, which will be a huge thing.
That's a big animal.
A big animal.
Oh, yeah. Well, 15 months of pregnancy and about 100 and something pounds.
Woo!
So it's
going
to be kind of cool.
Listen, Ron, thank you so much. You bring such great energy to the show. We're looking forward to having you back again. Go Gators. Go, Ron.
Yeah, baby.
And I can't wait. I tell you, Ron, I got to go out there and watch them grow some staghorns with you and coral and stuff. I got to go see that stuff.
You got to do it.
Jim. We're going to sign up.
Wanda.
Oh, Wanda, thanks
Thank
for putting
you.
This together. Ron, take right. care. Look forward to having the event with you and see you at some Gator functions, too.
You got it, baby.
All right. Rock on.